Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. A young mother laid her baby girl to sleep in a cradle. "I'll just go to the neighbors for a minute and visit," she thought to herself. "I haven't had time to talk to her for such a long time." But while she and the neighbor were chatting, the city fire alarm sent a chill through both of them. "Don't worry," said the neighbor. "Most likely it's only a grass fire. There are lots of those around here at this time of year. I'm sure the fire isn't anywhere near here." "But listen," said the mother, "I think I hear the fire engine coming this way. Look, people are running down the street, running toward my house." Without another word, she dashed into the street and ran with the gathering crowd. Then she saw her own house was on fire. Smoke and flames were already pouring through the roof. "My baby," she cried frantically, "my baby." The crowd was thick around her house, but she pushed and shoved until she reached the door. A fireman stopped her and said, "You can't go in there. You will be burned." But the mother cried, "Let me go, let me go," as she broke free and dashed into the flaming house. She knew just where to go, running through the smoke and flames. She seized her precious baby and then turned to make her way out. But by now, the smoke had enveloped the home, and it made it very hard and difficult for her to see and to breathe. Nearly overcome, she swayed and fell and would not have made it out of that house safely if the firemen had not picked her up and carried her out. What a cheer went up from the crowd as she appeared. Baby Marjorie was not hurt at all, but the poor mother's hands were terribly burned. Kind friends took care of the baby while the ambulance took her to the hospital. The doctors did their best, but her hands were terribly scarred. Years later, when Marjorie had grown, she suddenly noticed something she had not noticed before. Her mother's hands were so ugly. "Why are your hands so ugly?" she asked her mother when they were alone. Tears filled her mother's eyes as she remembered how frightened she was the day the house burned with Marjorie asleep and unaware of the danger. "Have I said something wrong?" Marjorie asked when she saw the tears from her mother's eyes. "No, my dear," replied her mother, "but there's a story I need to tell you." Then she told Marjorie the story of the fire. She told how the people tried to hold her back, how the firemen tried to stop her, how she battled the flames to rescue her, how she fell and how they were rescued. Then she held out her scarred hands for Marjorie to see. "They are ugly in a way, aren't they?" mother said softly. "For me, the only thing that mattered was to save your life." Now it was Marjorie's turn to shed a few tears. "Oh, mother," she said, "you must love me so much. These are the most beautiful hands in the world." Whew. Amen. Another story comes from Calvin Miller as he reminds us of a little girl whose mother's face was hideously scarred from an early injury. As the little girl grew, made friends, and gained her own identity, she became more and more ashamed of her mother's horrid appearance. Her face had been burned and greatly marred. As she walked down the street with her mother, she noticed people moving over to the far side of the walk or even crossing the street to avoid them. Gradually, the girl found ways to avoid being with her mother in public. Eventually, the girl became an adult, married, and moved to another town. Her lonely mother suffered financial setbacks and faced basic hunger. Her daughter continued to ignore her, even in such destitute circumstances. One day, the daughter discovered an old diary in her mother's house. It described a horrible fire that swept through their home. The mother rushed into the burning house, scooped up her daughter into her arms, and ran back out, burning herself beyond belief. The truth dawned on the girl. Her mother's horrific scars came from saving her daughter's life. A new kind of shame raced through her heart and soul. She went to her mother and threw her arms around what now appeared to be a beautiful face. In tears, the daughter expressed her gratitude for all her mother had done to save her. A new love relationship controlled their lives from then on. Amen. You know, friends, so often we depend on outward appearances as we choose our leaders and friends. We do not look beyond appearances to find the truth about a person, a program, or an organization and their abilities to help us. Israel kept looking beyond her boundaries to find a strong ally to deliver her from enemies. Time and again, God sent word to trust Him and let Him alone be the ally they needed. What does it take to reveal the truth to us about who can really help us and meet our needs? Who has proved true and faithful in our times or deepest distress? The Lord. Are we ready to turn to the faithful one, or will we seek yet another earthly ally? Do you know that there are hands that would hurt for you? The hands of Jesus. His hands were hurt for all of us. Soldiers drove great nails through his hands and hung him on a cross to die so that you and I could be forgiven and go to heaven instead of hell. Even when he comes again, the marks made by those nails will still be there. If you ask him, he will show them to you. When you see them, you will know for sure of a certainty how much Jesus loves you. It's important that we realize all that our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And cease being ashamed of him, friend. He suffered for you in your place to save you from your sins and the fires of eternal damnation. Scripture tells us in Isaiah 52:14, as many were astonished, shocked at thee, his visage or form, his countenance was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Isaiah 52:14. Jesus's visage, his appearance, his shape, generally translated appearance, referring to his own outward form. The Hebrew word for marred in Isaiah 52:14 and corruption, Leviticus 22:25. In his sufferings, the Messiah was so bruised, beaten, and mutilated that his own outward appearance was horrendous. He suffered so much that even wicked, hard-hearted men were shocked at his treatment. He became so disfigured that men were disgusted at what they saw. The more perfect his body, the more marred he seemed in suffering. Who hath believed our report, says Isaiah 53:1, the report of the prophets of John the Baptist and Christ's own report of himself. The Jews did not receive the report, and for this reason he was not manifested to them as the promised Messiah. He came unto his own, the scripture says, but his own received him not. Before the Father, he grew up as a tender plant, but to the Jews he was as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Adam Clark says, Philip Bliss wrote the following, Man of Sorrows, Isaiah 53, 3 speaks of Jesus, the man of sorrows. What a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. This was a prophetic utterance of the loving, suffering Savior. 700 years before he came was uttered and written in Isaiah 52 and 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. Isaiah 52, beginning in verse 13, Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul in death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. Isaiah chapter 52, beginning in verse 13 through Isaiah 53:12. You see, friends, Jesus' hands and feet were pierced. He was forsaken that we might be forgiven. He took the blow of death for us. We owe a debt we cannot pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. All this to redeem us from sin and from burning in hell. 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21 says, To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And by the way, this is written by the Apostle Paul after that Jesus had fulfilled what we just read in Isaiah 52 and 53. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, that's Christ, to be sin, or the sin sacrifice for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus' scars, like the loving mothers in these two stories, Jesus loves us. He loves us enough that he carries scars from the day that he saved you and me from the fire of sin. He has scars on his hands, his feet, and his side, where the sword pierced pierced him, and likely he has scars on his back and on his head. Jesus could have gone back to the Father in heaven without dying for us, but he loves us so much that he could not bear the thought of spending eternity without us. He knew that if he did not die for us, we would all die without him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. When Jesus was on the cross, he declared, "It is finished." You see, as we read in Isaiah 53:11, he shall see the Father was going to see the travail of his soul, of the soul of his son, and shall be satisfied. What a blessing it is that Jesus died on the cross, satisfy the claims of the Father's justice to forgive each and every one of us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." 1 Peter 3:18. You see, Jesus was forsaken that we might be forgiven. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 through 26 says, "But this man," that's Christ, "because he continueth ever," in other words, he's God Almighty, having no beginning and no ending, "hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." And just like those two loving mothers risked their own lives to save their babies, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, that's Christ, might be saved. Prophetic of Christ on the cross, dying for our sins, David the psalmist uttered, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the answer is found in verse 3 of Psalm 22. "But thou art holy, O Lord, that inhabitest the praises of Israel." God is holy. In fact, when Jesus was dying on the cross in fulfillment of prophecy, as he came to do the Father's will, to die for the sins of the world, the scripture tells us in Matthew 27:46, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Of this, the Believer's Bible Commentary says, "At about 3 p.m., he cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the answer is found in verse 3 of Psalm 22, as I read, "You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." Because God is holy, he cannot overlook sin. On the contrary, he must punish sin. The Lord Jesus had no sin of his own, but he took the guilt of our sins upon himself. When God, as judge, looked down and saw our sins upon the sinless substitute, he withdrew from the Son of his love. It was this separation that wrung from the heart of Jesus that Miss Browning so beautifully called Emmanuel's orphaned cry. Elizabeth Barrett Browning writes the following, "Deserted, God could separate from his own essence, rather, and Adam's sins have swept between the righteous Son and Father. Yea, Once Emmanuel's orphan cry, his universe has shaken. It went up single, echoless. My God, I am forsaken. Elizabeth Barrett Browning. One used a long reed to lift a sponge soaked with sour wine to his lips. Judging from Psalm 69:21, this was not intended as an act of mercy, but as an added form of suffering. Unquote from the Believer's Bible. Commentary, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life, the death, and burial of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and demonstrating that great love by your perfect sacrifice on the cross, where your feet and hands were nailed, pierced. I know it was your love that held you to that cross more than those nails. I'm forever grateful to you, my Lord Jesus, for your ultimate sacrifice for me and the sins of the whole world. I love you, dear Lord Jesus, and am fervently watching for your soon return. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit afresh right now and use me to help others to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.